Welcome to the show, Gold Squadron Gays. It's the podcast where two Star Wars loving gays talk about and review their favorite Star Wars content while also being gay as hell. I'm your host, Bradley Brower.
I'm your other host, Charles Rogers, and by the time you listen to this, I will either believe in true love or be so emotionally devastated that I will be cutting off all contact with everyone for an extended period of time. And by that I mean I have not yet finished watching Young Royals, but I have determined that my sanity and my emotional well-being relies on the ending of this particular show.
Is that show, I get all the different Netflix rom-coms confused. Is that one, is that a foreign language show too?
It's a foreign language show. So it's a foreign language show because it got its whole series run. It's Swedish.
Oh, okay. I thought it was British.
It's a Swedish, show. You're okay. Thinking of Heartstopper.
Oh, yes. That's what
Heartstopper's the British one.
Heartstopper's the British one. Elite is the
Elite
Spanish
is Spanish.
One.
Young Royals is Swedish. Although Young Royals has more in common with Elite because they're actually at a boarding school, and Heartstopper, they just wear school uniforms.
I need to get into like a K-pop drama then, because I feel like that's like one, or K, like any kind of K-drama, because I feel like that's missing from our like collective group of these romantic
I do think
gay
so.
Shows. Like,
I do think
where's
so.
The gay K drama?
See, now you've said that, what's gonna happen is me, specifically me, not you, because you're not on social media and you're not in Discord. I am specifically going to be tagged in half a dozen things now recommending K dramas set in
if
boarding
people
schools.
Have
for
recommendations
you,
for K dramas set in boarding schools that are happen to be a little gay, please send them our way. I'm actually genuinely
or a lot gay.
Right.
Look, I've watched a K-drama in my time.
I like it.
You know, it's Swedish. It's really good. As of recording this episode, I've watched 2 episodes out of the 5 that have been released because I've been very busy and also playing a lot of Hades. How far are you on Scandal?
I'm like, I think in the 3rd or 4th season almost. But then I looked back on my like TV tracker and I stopped watching it back in season 5. So I feel like I just have to watch 2 more seasons to get back to where I was years ago when I stopped watching this show. I have too much stuff to watch. I can't. Especially if you're making me watch Star Wars Visions on top of all this stuff.
This is true. It was 15 minutes today. It was 15 fucking minutes, Bradley.
You're right. It was a good time for this one.
It was a good 15 minutes. And speaking of the good 15 minutes, what are we talking about on what will undoubtedly be a shorter... See, I say this, and then it's going to turn out it's going to be like the longest Visions episode.
I was going to say, don't say that quite yet. No, this week we're talking about Star Wars Visions Season 1, episode titled TOB1, where a cybernetic boy who dreams of being a Jedi discovers a dangerous truth about his creator. Charles, would you like some information about this episode?
Is it information about how the droid's name is TOB1?
I mean, I do have a fun fact about that later on, but...
Okay.
No,
I would love to hear that fun fact at some point. Yes, give me some additional information about this short that I watched with my eyeballs.
Sure. So this episode was directed by Abel Gongora. His projects that look to be the same as the studio, so I'll mention the studio in just a second. The episode was written by Yuichiro Kido, and they are a second unit director of the Studio Ghibli film When Marnie Was There, and they've also the writer of the 2019 version of Fruits Basket, which I don't know if you've ever seen that, but
I have seen the old version of Fruits Basket. I saw the original version of it all the way back in 2000 and whatever. I saw the original back in the day when like manga would get like the first 3 volumes or whatever adapted, and then they'd make up an ending, or in Fruits Basket's case, they just fucking not end properly.
Gotcha. Yeah,
I didn't know
there was a 2019 version until like last year.
Oh yeah.
And I remember reading it when I was in middle school because there was this one girl that was like obsessed with like, you know, manga or anime and stuff. And like she had the Fruits Basket books and she like let me look at them and read them. And this is the first time I've ever seen like that kind of style of book cartoon thing. And I was like, oh, this is cool. And I was like, oh, they turn into animals. Like, I like that. I didn't realize it was like really creepy and weird, but I still like
it. is really bizarrely dark. Like, do not let the cutesy, like, thing fool you. Like, the show is bizarre. Like, the show that I watched had some, like, bizarrely dark episodes that I watched back in the day. See, this is why I'm saying we've got this, like, slew of anime that were based on manga that got, like, partial adaptations, because at the time they were more like commercials for the manga. So where is my full-length Iran High School Host Club? And then also maybe replace one of the voice actors. Where is this? You can do this for Fruits Basket, but not for Iran High School Host Club? Okay. Okay. I see how it is. I'm going to get on a rant about Iran High School Host Club, and we do not at all have the time for that. But I will check out the 2019 Fruits Basket after finding out that the writer also wrote this short.
Yeah, the studio that produced this short was Science Saru. This company makes television series and shorts and films, such as, most recently, Scott Pilgrim Takes Off on Netflix, a couple special episodes of Adventure Time, and Yo-Kai Watch the Movie. They've also produced two short films in the Vision series. They did TOB1 and our last episode that we'll do, which is called Akakiri.
Yes. So I looked at their list of things they've done. They're a relatively new studio. They've only been around since, as far as I can tell, 2013, and they haven't done a lot that I've seen, or even a lot that I've heard of. Now, I'm operating off the Wikipedia, and Wikipedia actually distinguishes when they are not the primary animator on something. But as far as the one that they were the primary animator on, the only ones I've even heard of, and I haven't seen either of them, are Devilman Crybaby in 2018 and Japan Sinks 2020 in 2020. These are the only two that I even heard of. Gotcha. And I haven't seen either of them. They've not really met. Well, Scott Pilgrim Takes Off, I've heard of that one. I haven't watched it, but I've watched the important clips from it on TikTok. But yeah, they're pretty new. They don't have a lot that I've seen. There's nothing more to say about them.
Yeah, and I didn't, I looked at some of the special episodes of Adventure Time that they kind of worked on. I don't know in what capacity they worked on those episodes, but they're not, like, from the main show. They're all, like, specialty episodes and stuff. So it's definitely seems to be some kind of, like, they probably assisted with stuff. I don't necessarily think that they made those episodes. So I just thought that was interesting, though, to include. Would you like to know anything about the English voice cast for this episode?
Yes, Bradley, tell me all about the English voice cast. I am dying to hear this.
All right. Starting off with our main character, Jaden Waldman does the voice of TOB1. He also did the voice of the village child chief in The Duel. And then the only show that I recognized him from, he did an episode of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel he was in. And then him personally, though, his most well-known thing was this really weird PBS thing that I didn't know. It was called, like, Peterific Princess Pink something. I don't know.
It's Pinkalicious and Peterific, and I can tell this because I'm looking at it on the screen.
Okay. Yeah. I've never heard of that, but that's his most well-known thing, it looks like, because he's done about 60 episodes of it for PBS, and I was like, all right, well, I'm glad you're getting into the Star Wars sphere or something else, because that seems like it looks really creepy, whatever it is. I don't like it, but maybe it's good. I don't know. I'm not a child, so.
I mean, he is in an episode of The Plot Against America, which is a show that I badly want to watch because it seems like it would be, like, super up my alley.
Right.
As far as being this specific alternate history. Every time I think about the plot, I get depressed and terrified. So I'm probably never going to watch it. It's just going to perpetually stay on my to-be-watched list. Do you know about The Plot Against America?
I've never heard of it.
You've never heard of it. So it's an alternate history in which Franklin Roosevelt, you know, Franklin D. Roosevelt, World War II president, fixed the Great Depression, New Deal, all that guy, lost the election of 1940 to Charles Lindbergh. Charles Lindbergh, famous pilot Charles Lindbergh. This is what he's well known for. What he's not as well known for is for being a giant fascist piece of shit. Who also tried to run for president. He sucked. Dude actually sucked super hard. So this is like an alternate history that came out in like 2020. It's based in a book. I've always wanted to watch it. I've never gotten around because every time I think about it, I get super depressed.
Nice.
Who else is on our...
I was going to say, moving on.
Moving on to something less depressing than The Plot Against America.
Next up, we have Kyle Chandler as Mitaka, who is the Jedi creator character.
Right.
He has been in multiple things, mostly known for Friday Night Lights, Godzilla, King and Monsters, and most recently for me, the bomb episode of Grey's Anatomy, because he was in that. And if you know the bomb episode, you know what I'm talking about.
I would like to shout him out for being in Argo, a movie that I really fucking loved.
Okay.
Also, he kind of has a Star Wars connection.
Oh, what's the Star Wars connection?
He was in the movie Super 8, which was directed by J.J. Abrams.
Oh, yes. But J.J. couldn't put him in The Force Awakens or The Rise of Skywalker?
I do not think he is in any of those.
I know. I'm just saying, like, come on, J.J. Like,
this was before that. This was 2011. Let's see. I'm just been in a lot of movies that I've seen, like The Wolf of Wall Street, Zero Dark 30. I think he's the federal agent in Wolf of Wall Street. Do you ever see Wolf of Wall Street clips on TikTok, Bradley?
I've only seen the movie once, so I don't remember, but
he's
I know what
the
he looks
federal
like, but
agent, I'm pretty sure, in Wolf of Wall Street. But he's also in Friday Night Lights, and he's in two Godzilla movies, which I only bring up because Godzilla Minus One rules and got a very deserved Academy Award for its visual effects. I saw the movie in theaters. I gotta say, very few movies I'm like, that needed to be seen in theaters. Godzilla Minus One needed to be seen in theaters. That movie was an experience for me.
I mean, not to go on a tangent about Godzilla, but I
we're
think
absolutely
it sucks.
Going on a tangent about Godzilla. These Visions episodes have just been oops all tangents.
I do think it sucks though that probably not going to be out on streaming anytime soon, since Toho or whoever is about to release their Godzilla Kong movie, and unfortunately they don't want to compete with each other, and so they're not going to release Minus One anytime soon on streaming. So I don't know how long it's going to be until you can watch that at home, but it'll be a minute.
Well, when you get a chance to watch it at home, you should fucking watch it at home.
Yeah, I do want to watch it because I do feel bad that I didn't get to see it, and it was apparently very good. So
I do want to bring up, I know you have a third, you're going to bring up the third. Do you want to do the third person real fast that you
sure.
have on your list?
Yeah.
Who else is in this, Bradley?
Last but certainly not least on my end, Neil Kaplan is the voice of the Inquisitor/Jedi Hunter person. Last week, he was the narrator for The Ninth Jedi. We discussed how he did various voices on Star Wars video games.
Yes. I do want to shout out the Stormtrooper real quick. He gets one line. It's a guy named Michael, I'm so sorry about this, Sinter Nicholas?
Sure.
I am only shouting him out because he has also appeared, he's 270 voice credits. He has also appeared in another Star Wars after that just right was at the top of his IMDb page. He's the voice of OGLC in Young Jedi Adventures in episodes that I have actually watched. That is a droid explorer of the galaxy dating back to the era of the Old Republic. So shout out to him for being in Young Jedi Adventures. Young Jedi Adventures, pretty good show.
All right, now we can move on to the animation of the episode and kind of more of the plots and stuff. So, Charles, what did you think about the animation style? Were you feeling it this time? Or was this a little bit too much of a drastic change since from the last couple episodes that we've done?
So when I first watched these episodes, I'm going to stop bringing up when I first watched, because this was firmly at the point where we were getting burnt out on them.
Right, right.
And I don't think starting with the last episode, which I'm totally the Ninth Jedi, starting with the Ninth Jedi, I keep wanting to say the Last Jedi.
Yep.
Starting with the Ninth Jedi, I started to get kind of burnt out on them when I watched them the first time. And so I feel like at this point I was just like, this is too much of a roller coaster. This is too up and down. I'm too tired. I don't know what's going on. This time, like taking them week by week by week and watching them in isolation has really led me to be able to appreciate what each individual one is doing now. Because anime, and by the way, behind the scenes guy, it's anime. It's not anime. It's anime. I don't know why he's pronouncing it anime, but anime is not homogenous. Like there's not one single way to do it. And it also has a long and varied history. And I think a lot of these shorts are tying back to things in that history. And what I found really interesting about TOB1 is that it's tying back to even some of the earliest anime. It's fucking Astro Boy. Like that's what this is it's Astro Boy. Pretty sure. When did Astro Boy even come out?
1963.
Like the anime?
Yep.
Okay, so it's harkening back to 1960 fucking three.
Right. And the only reason why I have that is because I have that later on in a note, but
okay. Yeah,
but it's okay.
But
no,
it's harkening back to it's harkening back to that, and I really liked it. I thought it was really inventive. I thought they only have they only did 15 minutes, so they did some interesting things with the visuals, like to show the passage of time or to show T-Obi-Wan's like dreaming and like his imagination and things. And I thought it was really neat. I really liked the animation in this one a lot. I also liked how fluid it all seemed, like, and how integrated together it all seemed.
Right.
There wasn't a point, like last week it was very like, oh, we might have CGI backgrounds and 2D people in the front, which worked for that. This one, it's all like blended together. Like the painting, the backgrounds are like these matte painting style like stuff. It was really good. I really liked it a lot. What about you, Bradley? What did you think of the animation of this?
I liked it. I think that my thing was that this one felt more of an actual short than some of the other ones. Like sometimes when I watch the Visions episodes, they don't feel like shorts to me. They just feel like an episode of TV that I'm watching. And I like kind of like that. This to me felt like a true, like it was a short. Like basically, I think it was because the animation style was in that cutesy kind of almost chibi like style. It was giving me like Ponyo vibes. Like it was cute and it was like, it was adorable. I liked the watercolor almost aspect of it. It kind of reminded me of that Studio Ghibli Grogu short that they made.
Oh, fuck yeah. I keep forgetting. Grogu and Dust Bunnies.
Dust Bunnies, right. That's what it almost gave me that vibe. Not as artsy, because I feel like that was a little more artistic because it was supposed to be very like hand-drawn-esque kind of thing. But this was cute. I liked it. I did like kind of like the more upbeat nature of it. And I also think that, like, again, if you were like to make this into something else, this would be something where like this gave me like Young Jedi Adventures, but not CGI, if that makes sense.
Right. It's the same kind of like transitioning over into the plot, I guess. It's that same kind of genre of story that's specifically for like younger kids, but you can also tell that a great deal of like care and love was put into it.
Right.
And like, that harkens back to, again, like the days of Astro Boy. The idea that, you know, we need to have quality kids entertainment that the people that are making it care about. And we do get that occasionally today. But I also feel like this story and this animation, all of it is invoking that specific style of like, we're making this kid show, but we feel really passionate about it.
Yeah, and I like the plot too, because I think when I first watched it, I didn't catch on to like that this guy was a Jedi with no arms, by the way, which I did never caught the first time. I don't know why. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention, but he clearly doesn't have arms. And then I was watching this and I was like, oh, he's a Jedi who's been hiding, or at least he's been hiding for years, / we don't know how long he's been hiding from. And then there's still inquisitors out there looking for people in the galaxy. We don't know the timeline necessarily, because obviously this is not, you know, canon, but it's close enough to canon that I would argue that you would be like, oh, this is just during the same time, like after the fall of the, you know, the
right
Republic. I mean, it's very easily it could be set in that without ruining any kind of canon if you added this in somehow.
For me, it came across as a fable. Like, it came across, the story and what it's attempting to do came across more as like an instructional tale than any attempt to be grounded in its own like world or its own, like, I don't want to say internal consistency because it is internally consistent, but it's not really as feet on the ground as some of the other shorts we've seen, like Village Bride or Ninth Jedi. That this one is very much telling an instructional parable. Like, and this is where some of the like on the nose stuff comes in. Like, yes, obviously the old Jedi's dream is to reinvigorate the planet in tandem with nurturing this child. Like, yes, obviously the Kyber crystal was, the power was inside of him the entire time. Like, fucking obviously. Like, obviously he teams up with his droid friend to defeat the big bad because his friends are getting threatened and destroyed by this thing. Like, yeah, obviously that's the direction we're going. It's not meant to be like this surprising, grounded, twisty story. It's meant to be a fairy tale.
Right.
Like, that's essentially what it is. It's like a fairy tale for children, to quote those horrible fucking AI books that I'm constantly getting promoted on my Kindle. But that, because that's SEO results, and we don't have time to go on a tangent about how the AI glut of children's books is fucking atrocious, and we don't have time to get into that. This is that. This is what that actually is. It's a fairy tale for children. It's a bedtime story. This is a bedtime story. And I can almost see it, you know, maybe post-Empire, you know, in Rey's new Jedi order or whatever that she's going to found, I could very easily see this being a bedtime story that's told to younglings, being a bedtime story that's told to children, that's what this is for me.
Yeah, it seems like it's the Star Wars version of, like, Pinocchio, right?
Exactly what it fucking is. Yeah, that's exactly what it fucking is.
It's almost identical in the story of, like, you know, here's this boy who wants to be a, quote, real
one
Jedi.
One of the Lucasfilm executives, I forget which one, that is on the behind-the-scenes feature, literally says that.
Oh, he does? Okay. I keep forgetting to watch the behind-the-scenes for these.
Yeah, it's fucking Pinocchio. Like, that's all this short is it's... It's Pinocchio crossed with Luke Skywalker.
Right.
Which works really well.
I like it. So there's two, I want to bring up the name right now.
Okay.
Because I kind of hinted earlier that we would talk about TOB1 and what that all means. And then also you brought up Astro Boy, so that also has a connection. So there's
I was reading the Wikipedia article when I Googled really fast to see what year Astro Boy premiered.
Yeah.
I was reading a little bit of the Wikipedia article and I went, oh, should I say something about? Nope. Bradley just said he's going to.
So
what people do not understand about podcasting, particularly making this specific show, is how much. Do you know what's really interesting about this podcast, Bradley? And this is going to be a tangent, but we have time.
Okay.
You know what making this podcast reminds me of? The live TV production classes we had to take.
Oh, where we all had to, like, basically write our own SNL skits and, like, try to come up with a concept for a fucking live TV program.
That, which was, you know, whatever. But being in the control room.
Yeah.
Where you had to, like, you had to be able to do 18,000 things while the broadcast was theoretically happening.
Right.
Like, you had to be able to do all of that.
Who wants to be on teleprompter? Who wants to be on switcher? Who wants to be camera? Who wants to be the director? Who wants to be...
Yep. And having to, like, if you're on teleprompter, like, you have to be able to make a graphic in, like, 30 seconds. It's insane. Making this show reminds me of that sometimes, because, like, I'll be talking, but then at the same time, I also have to be off to the side, like, I need to pull up this piece of information that I'm about to reference, but I don't quite remember. Thank God we don't do a live version of this show.
No, if we did a live version of the show, we would not make it. Like, I don't know. I couldn't do it because I think
I couldn't do it either. I couldn't do it either. Anyway, please proceed with your fun facts. I just thought I'd remind the audience that we're both trained professionals at what we do.
So according to the book, there's two explanations for the name for TOB1, right? So there's the actual live real life version reason, because obviously TOB1 is based on the character of Astro Boy, the TV series you mentioned from 1963 to 1965. The name TOB1 is based on Tobio, the name of the boy who Astro Boy is designed after. So that's where Tobio comes from. TOB1. Now, in universe, there's a different explanation. There's, according to the book, The Art of Star Wars Visions, TOB1 is a force-sensitive droid powered by a kyber crystal and infused with the essence of Professor Mitaka's dead Padawan, Toby. Now, the director added that Mitaka might be considered a gray Jedi. He doesn't follow the code anymore, but he got attached to his Padawan that he preserved part in Toby's memories or whatever into this droid. So that obviously would not be accepted by the Jedi Order. So it's kind of like this weird, like, there's way more backstory to this short than there is.
That was way more backstory than I was expecting.
Exactly.
And he also calls him Toby at one point. Like, he calls him Toby at the end.
Yeah. I think it's the part where he's envisioning himself as a real boy, and I think that's supposed to be like what his Padawan used to look like, or what, like, theoretically, like, he envisioned, like,
wow, that's really fucking sad. Actually,
it's sad and deep. Like, if you actually look at it, you're like,
and it's
holy
nowhere
shit.
In the short, dude. No. By the way, that's not anywhere in the short. If you're somehow listening to this episode and you didn't watch the short, it's nowhere in there.
Yeah,
which is wild to me.
So there's definitely, like, a lot more to this short than meets the eye.
Oh, yes. What's
the
your
other
thing fun fact?
Well, the only other thing I had was just the Inquisitor,
who has teeth for some reason.
Yeah, I don't like calling. Well, first of all, I don't like calling him an Inquisitor because he doesn't have the Inquisitor lightsaber. So technically, he's just a Jedi hunter person, even though he's credited as Inquisitor. But
whatever. I mean, this is the hill Bradley's chosen to die on, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. But he's cool looking. I mean, I like his design at least. Like, he's a big, beefy Inquisitor, which I like when they look like that because, you know, I like the Ninth Sister and I feel like there needs to be more beefy Inquisitors. I don't know. I
I
like.
like he look how he looks like he has the like medieval helmet, like the bucket on his head. I do like that a lot.
So now that we've talked a little bit about the show, Charles, what would you like to see, if anything? Would you like to see this continue in any capacity, shape, or form?
Nope.
Okay. And
Bold, bold
I
answer.
also.
I know that most people were not expecting. Let me explain my
Okay,
answer
explain
really
your,
quick, because I feel like
defend
I did the
yourself.
twist because it's a fairy tale. Because the story is what the story needs to be. And yes, there's backstory. Yes, there's stuff that's included that the intentionality of the creator has that is not in the story. But I feel like the story itself is a fable. And we don't need to know. Hot take for Michael Eisner specifically. When the fairy tale ends, we don't need to know what happens next. The story has accomplished what it needed to accomplish. The characters have accomplished what it needed to accomplish. And there is beauty in brevity. There is beauty in simplicity and in telling a story that is completely contained, has a wonderful message, and then ends. And I think for TOB1, as much as I loved the short, and don't get me confused, right? Just because I think the story is fine and doesn't need to continue past that, the point that it has continued, does not mean that I disliked it. I loved it a lot. I loved it because it had a definitive ending. I loved it because it ended on a hopeful note. But that hope was kind of the point. And the short journey of TOB1, of Toby across the short was the point. So no, I really don't want to see this continue. I like this being exactly what it is, which is a 15-minute film about somebody realizing that a kid realizing that their dreams are more complicated than they thought, but ultimately figuring out how to embrace them in an adult and mature way.
I
What about
agree.
you, Bradley?
No, I agree. I don't think it should continue, but if it had to, like if it for some reason you had to pick something, I would do two options. My first option would be a children's book series, like
Oh, that
art,
would be
like a
cute.
small children's book, kind of like
I like that.
TOB1 goes to, you know, Tatooine, or TOB1 goes to Coruscant, whatever. Like it would be like a little like children's book. It wouldn't be like a novel or anything like that. It would literally be a 10-page, you know, hand-drawn kind of thing
Oh,
for to
that's
read
really
children at
clever.
night. Yeah, that's how I would like to see it continue if you wanted to keep the character design and do the art style a little bit more. I think that would be cute. My only other thing is if it had to be something that was more like animation-wise, I would say an actual Disney Junior kind of esque show like the High Republic Adventures, but it would just be like
Young Jedi
following,
Adventures. High
or I'm sorry.
Republic Adventures is a different thing. Also for kids, we don't have time to get into that.
Okay.
And all of the gayness that is associated with the High Republic Adventures, the most gay of the Star Wars.
Young Jedi Adventures. I would think something in that kind of style, the CGI kind of animation, you know, easy children's show, something that they can pop out pretty quickly. That something like that would be fine as long as it was at the level of like I'm talking like Disney Junior like level. Like I do not want to see it in the realm of like Rebels or Clone Wars kind of
Right.
level of not I don't like to call
Don't
those
go
kids shows,
overboard
but
with it.
yeah, it can't be, it needs to be five and under, like that can really watch it. Like, I don't think it should ever be geared towards anything more than that. But I like my idea of a kid's book series better, but that's
I
just,
also like
yeah.
that better. I think if you forced me to continue this, a series of kids' books about TOB1 going to different planets and learning lessons and going on adventures would be a
100%.
cute thing to like, because it goes back to, again, what I was saying about the plot of the show itself, which is a bedtime story for children. It goes back to that bedtime story for children. It's because that's the natural evolution of these things. You know, the fairy tales became, you know, this split off and became this sort of entertainment, but also like you would get books that you would read to kids. And that's why these shitty animated books are out there, because that's the thing parents are still looking for, is they're still looking for bedtime stories to read to children. I recently purchased one of those books, not because I have any children or plan to, but just because it is a High Republic book and I am determined to own every piece of High Republic media in physical form. So I did buy the Jedi Brave in Every Way children's book and read it. It's pretty good. It's a pretty good book about learning to be brave and about how your fears aren't really as scary as you think they are.
Sure they
Bradley's
are.
Just
God.
Bradley's just stunned at this. Listen, I also paid a decent amount of money to get one comic issue that has not been collected in trades, purchased by somebody that I know at a convention and sent to me. So do not underestimate the lengths that I would go to, Bradley, to acquire every piece of High Republic physical, anything I can. I'm about to buy the Volume 1 omnibus of comics, that some of which I own 3 copies of already. I'm about to buy the omnibus just so I can own them again.
Oh my God, you are unwell.
I am mentally ill when it comes to the High Republic. I am not okay. I need Tales of Enlightenment to get here so I can have the complete phase 2 so I can do my spreadsheet. I am insane when it comes to the High Republic, Bradley. You are not ready for diving into the High Republic on this show, or on a show. We'll talk about that later. Anyway, speaking of the High Republic, Bradley, do you have any final thoughts before we move on to pluggables, which will, as always, involve the High Republic?
No, my final thoughts are just, I thought it was cute. Like, and you're right, I think it should stay a short. It was adorable. And if people just want to, like, an uplifting, kind of fun, cute thing to watch by themselves or with kids or whoever, like, this is one of the ones I would recommend. I think out of all of them, I think this is the one's going to make you feel the best, and it's going to be a fun time.
It is fun. It is cute. And I liked it a lot. It gave me serotonin in my little rat brain. That's my takeaway from this. What are we doing next week, Bradley?
Next week, we're going to be covering The Elder.
Ooh.
So a little bit more mature themes next week.
A little bit more mature themes next week.
Right.
I'm very excited for The Elder. I quite liked this one a lot when I first watched it. All right. Pluggables. We do one reality TV show for Bradley at a time because he has had a storied career and worked in a bunch of them. Right now, we are doing Married to Medicine Season 10. Over on the me side of things, you can find me on the Star Wars High Republic, where I'm just as insufferable about the High Republic as I am here, TTRPG podcast for Light and Dice. You can also find a series of gay thriller novels that I write set in an adult film studio called Beach House Studios. Beach House is 1H, one word. That's available on Amazon Kindle. I just had a meeting about the second book last weekend, and so that's coming. It's on track to come out when I said it was going to come out.
Good.
Alrighty. Well, that's it for this week. Bradley, go ahead and run the socials so I can get back to ruining my life with a Swedish gay boarding school drama. Thank you for listening to this episode of Gold Squadron Gays. Did Charles fuck something up? Email us at goldsquadrongays@gmail.com to let us know. You can also find us on Twitter at @GoldSquadGays, and you can find us on TikTok and Instagram at @GoldSquadronGays. You can also find us on YouTube at our Gold Squadron Gays YouTube channel, where we post full episodes of this show. Finally, if you liked the show, don't forget to rate us and give us a review on your favorite podcast platform. That allows other people to find our show. As always, thank you for listening to Gold Squadron Gays, and we'll see you next week. And when are you watching How to Get Away with Murder, Bradley?
Probably never. That's going to take too long to watch. I don't know if I'm ever going to get to that.
So hold on. So you're fine with Scandal, a show that's like 7 fucking seasons, but you can't do 5 seasons of How to Get Away with Murder. That's only like 15 episodes a season.